he's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday midweek edition of the Best Stocks Now show with Bill Gunderson, professional money manager, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And we've got a real interesting show today. A lot of the big dogs, some not dogs, are reporting in today with their earnings, the likes of AT&T, Boeing, and, of course, Tesla. So we've got a lot to go over here today. It should be a lot of fun. I'm going to have fun, whether you do or not. We've got the Dow. I would say it's a soft opening for the market. I would have expected a better opening after the earnings reports that I've seen so far. The Dow is flat right now. That puts it at 38,504. The S&P 500 is up 15 points to 5,085. It's day three of a bottoming trying to be put in there after this sell-off in the S&P, and it's day three for the NASDAQ also. The S&P is at 5,085. The NASDAQ's at 15,811. It's up 115. A lot of that is Tesla, however. Tesla did a lot of jawboning yesterday, did Elon, talking that stock up. Scaring the short sellers out, too. Crude oil down 40 cents to 82.96. Gold down $6.40. And the 10-year's up 5 basis points. I call it the stubborn 10-year. It's at 4.64. So welcome to today's The Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, professional money manager for the last almost 25 years now. In the trenches every day, and I've seen a lot, and I wouldn't trade that experience for anything because you see a lot of patterns develop that repeat themselves over the years, not only in the macros of the market, but also amongst individual stocks. We've got a lot of earnings reports today. We're really starting to get into the meat of the earnings season. The really important companies are now weighing in. We've got several Dow stocks that have weighed in so far today. And, of course, Tesla, which we'll be talking about. We had a good day yesterday. You know, we had good numbers out of Europe. I noticed an especially strong European market yesterday. I measure that through an ETF, VGK, which is the Vanguard Europe ETF. And I also noticed a pretty hot day in China. Not hot weather-wise, but their stocks were hot, like Tencent Holdings and PDD, etc., and pretty good numbers coming out of China. And I think that was the biggest biggest push behind our markets yesterday. We finished up. The Dow was up 253 yesterday. The NASDAQ was up 245. Now, we remain in a correction right now to the tune of about 4 or 5%. We're in day three of the NASDAQ trying to put in a bottom from this correction, so it's too early to say that the correction is over. I think we still are vulnerable to another 5% on the downside, but, you know, who knows? Maybe the NASDAQ will pick itself up by the bootstraps. A lot of that's going to be dependent upon the earnings that come in. And the S&P's in day three also of trying to bottom out from that pretty sharp correction we had last week. And then you've got the Dow, which is in about day five or six of trying to put in that bottom. All right, so we had a decent day yesterday, which is good. In fact, after Friday's big sell-off, that was the scariest day of all during this recent correction. And, you know, the reason I use the word correction is I don't believe we're going into a bear market. I think that the market got tired. I think the market started topping out and going sideways. I think a lot of people started cashing in some huge profits, a lot of them long-term gains. And I think the market got ahead of itself from a valuation point of view. But I certainly don't see a recession on the horizon, either in the economy or in the earnings yet. But I remain extremely vigilant on a daily basis. Okay, we don't have a lot of big reports, economic reports. We do have one. The durable goods orders rise more than expected in March. They were up 2.6%. The market was expecting 2.3%, so that's a little bit better than expected. Okay, but that also means that's inflationary. That's good news. That means that the Fed, that's just one more thing they look at. And just from that report, I wouldn't imagine that makes them real anxious to lower interest rates anytime soon. NVIDIA is nearing a $700 million acquisition. Boy, how'd you like to be on the other end of that, of an Israeli startup called Run:AI. That's the name of the company. I had a guy I met with one time, I think it was in Arizona, and he had invented something, some kind of patch that hackers were able to get through and into the Microsoft system. And I think that he told me that Microsoft ended up buying him out for like $100 million or something like that, for that little piece that he had come up with. So there's another way to become a millionaire. Not overnight. Hard work, a lot of luck there involved, and coming up with the right thing. So anyways, it looks like NVIDIA is getting ready to make an acquisition. I remember I owned Mellanox several years ago. Mellanox was a leading stock in the market. And I remember when NVIDIA came along and bought out Mellanox. Now, this Run:AI is not a publicly traded company. It's a private company. But, boy, how would you like to be on the other end of that? NVIDIA buying you out for $700 million. Okay, we're going to get some big earnings, like I said. We'll go through today's earnings, but I want to prepare you for what's coming. Meta reports after the close tonight. Now, that's one of the biggest, that is one of the top five earnings reports in my book. That's the company that formerly known as Facebook. Everybody's most liked CEO, Zuckerbucks, at the helm, but it's been an earnings powerhouse, what can I say? When you've got 2.5 billion people in the world engaged on your site, that makes that site very, very valuable, to advertisers. It's hard to get that kind of exposure with your advertisements, right? So anyways, we'll watch and see what Meta reports. We do own a big position in Meta, and we've done very, very well with it. And I know a lot of people say, I don't like Zuckerberg. Well, I like profits, and I like earnings, and I base my decisions skewed heavily towards that as opposed to who's at the helm of the company. AT&T has reported. I believe we get Ford after the close tonight. Boeing has reported. We're going to get IBM tonight. Lam Research, ServiceNow, Biogen, Chipotle, everybody's favorite burrito stock. Hilton Worldwide, they've already reported. Hasbro has reported, and Humana has reported. So a lot to go over. And we're going to look at the track record of some of these companies that are reporting. That, to me, is the there's no hiding when that track record is exposed. Alphabet will also report tomorrow. That's definitely one of the top five reports for this quarter. In fact, you know, the bottom line is most of the growth in this quarter versus the same quarter last year is going to come from about 10 or 15 stocks. And it's going to be the likes of Meta and Google, etc., that will provide that with our growth. So anyways, we're going to get that tomorrow. And Microsoft, okay? So we're getting three of the biggest reports here today, tomorrow. Microsoft will report tomorrow. Intel will report tomorrow. Merck, Bristol-Myers, Caterpillar, Roku, Teladoc. Southwest Airlines, Valero, AstraZeneca, Union Pacific. Pretty interesting and diverse group of companies. Then on Friday, it'll be a couple of oil giants, which they've been doing okay here recently. But, you know, it's a tough sector to play. Chevron will report and Exxon will report. Let's see, anything else? No, those are kind of the big ones. Okay, when we come back, we're going to go through some of the upgrades, downgrades, news on stocks here, and then we're going to really dig into some of these earnings and the track records of many well-known stocks to find out if they're best stocks now or worst stocks now. We'll be right back. Second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Barry has the morning off here. He's got a little work with his sons in high school and college guidance and all that kind of thing, which is all good. Well, that's very much more important than this show. The NASDAQ Dow, I'm just going to say it's a squishy open. It's soft. You've had two pretty good days in a row. I can't say that the correction is over yet. It's, you know, about and with the Dow, you're about 3 weeks into it. With the NASDAQ and S&P, you know, you had that big topping out and that big sell-off pretty much last week. It took 5% out of the NASDAQ last week. And it puts all three of them into a downtrend, which we haven't seen for a long time. We've gotten pretty used to an uptrend. But I still think it's a secondary reaction within an overall bull market, obviously, since 2009. The question is this little 5% correction over? Is there more? It's too soon to say. I think the odds, the probabilities lean to we still have further to go before we catch hold. We'll see. But, you know, look, you're 3 days. You've had three up days. What's today, Wednesday? No, you've only had two up days in the NASDAQ since the big sell-off, and you've had two up days in the S&P. So it's hard to say that the correction is over just from those 2 days. Okay, let's take a look now here at some of the stocks in the news today. Super Microcomputer perks up. KeyBank starts with a sector weight. As you know, that's one of our aggressive holdings, Super Microcomputer. It is up 2% today, kind of anemic. And it's quite a ways below its all-time high. I mean, it's gone through a 35% correction. It hit 1,229, and now it's at 780. That's a hefty correction. But during that time, the forward P.E. ratio on the stock has come down to 34 on a stock that's looking for 89% growth in earnings this year and another 20% next year. So it's definitely gotten more affordable. And it also, during that run, that hot run of last year, was put into the S&P 500. So it's in the news today. Let's see if they give us a target price. That'd be nice. Let's see. Yeah, 1500. Okay, that's Loop Capital. Well, that's pretty good. That's a double from here, 780 back to 1500. I'm pretty much in line with that, but I think they probably have a short-term target price. That would be my longer-term target price on SMCI, and it remains in the throes of a major correction. And when you have a stock that goes up as much as it did from 250 to 1200 in the matter of months, it's vulnerable to big pullbacks from time to time. Okay, another stock in the news. Texas Instruments, I'm going to use them as an example here. Texas Instruments reported earnings, and it is an overall indicator for the chip sector. It had a good report. It's up 6.2% right now. But what I caught here is that that this kind of indicates that a recovery in the broader semiconductor industry is near, okay, a recovery. Because after the big COVID bounce, when people had to buy computers for home, you had a big jump in chips in the hardware makers, the PC makers, etc., and then that really cooled off considerably. J.P. Morgan analyst says that they are encouraged by the slew of positive data points. They believe that a bottoming is in place with the recovery profile ahead for the chip sector. Now, as a member of the semiconductor sector, Texas Instruments is not a leadership stock. I mean, it's very much a laggard. Many of you know Texas Instruments from way back when it was one of the very first calculators that we carried around. It was the first, I guess, mobile tech devices. Over the last 10 years, it's delivered a very choppy average of 13% per year to investors. The S&P is 17%, and I would just say you're taking a lot more risk on a Texas Instruments, and you haven't been rewarded for that extra risk. Over the last 5 years, TXN has delivered 7% per year, while the market's delivered 14.7%. So that's half. And over the last 3 years, you've actually had a negative return from Texas Instruments. I would just say that, you know, they haven't really kept up with technological advances, et cetera. They are what they are. And over the last 12 months, the stock's down 7.5%, while the S&P's up 22%. So very poor performer. That's why it gets a relative strength rating of 32 on a scale of 1 to 99. So it's hard to make a case for it, but I was more interested there in that macro outlook for Texas Instruments going forward here, or in the past. What has the performance actually been? That's an eye-opener, okay? If you own it or if you're considering it, if your broker has you in it, your money manager has you in it, and that's my thing about owning ETFs, okay? I would rather cherry-pick the ETFs in the semiconductor sector and eliminate the laggards like TXN, Texas Instruments. Okay, China is coming at us from all directions. Now, Polestar is an electric car that is made in Sweden. It's a wannabe. It's a wannabe competitor to Tesla. And Polestar, this has implications for us here in South Carolina. They're looking to use their plant here in the U.S., which is just not too far from me. It's maybe 45 minutes away. They were going to build Volvo cars. And believe it or not, China owns Volvo. And I didn't know that. I didn't know this until today, that China is also behind Polestar. So they want to build EVs right here in South Carolina and ship them to Europe. But I would imagine they've also got their sights set on America, which, you know, those Chinese cars are a major threat to Musk, obviously, and to GM and Ford with their electric ambitions. And there seems to be a will right now in Congress and in the Biden administration, and if Trump were to be president, to keep those Chinese EV cars out. China's also looked to Mexico to manufacture electric cars and ship them into the U.S. So we'll see how that that goes. Tesla. Here's the funny part. Here's what I see in Tesla's report, okay? I think Elon's going, you know, the two big things here that just continue to grind on this stock are the following. We'll talk about that when we come back. It's the Best Stocks Now show. Is Tesla one of them right now? We'll find out.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now show. Well, after 2 days of a pretty sharp recovery, we're a little on the slowish side here today as we still seem to be in the midst of that correction that began several weeks ago in the Dow, really accelerated last week. It finally spread to the NASDAQ and the S&P, and it finally hit NVIDIA, the leading stock in the market during this run-up since January of 2023. It hit NVIDIA last week with a 10% drop on Friday. So I can't say that we're out of this correction yet, but that's okay. I mean, you're going to go through it from time to time. Now, Tesla, okay, I've said many times we did not like the way Tesla was trading. We're talking back in, I sold my Tesla late last year, early this year. I can't remember what it was, right around the beginning of the year. And I do not regret it. I sold it at 226, and it's now 163. It's 63 points lower. Now, it's having a good day. It's up 13.1%. I'm going to guess that there's some pretty heavy short interest. The shorts love to go against Elon Musk. And he has his tools to go against them, and I'm going to say his biggest tool in going against them is his mouth, because he said the two things that scared them the most during this earnings call. Now, here's the numbers part of his earnings report. His sales are dropping. I mean, the floor has dropped out from sales. He has gone, his last three quarters, his sales were up 9% 3 quarters ago. Then they were up 3%, decelerating. And this quarter, he just reported sales are down 9% versus this same time last year. That's not good. And then on the other, more important front are the earnings. Earnings were down 47%. Year over year, and yet you say, well, why is the stock up 12 points? Because he said the two things that have been weighing on Tesla the most, one would be, now he's saying that Tesla is turning the corner. It's an AI robotics company. Okay, all right, it's an AI robotics company. So, in other words, it deserves a better multiple, a higher multiple. That got the analyst going. And then he talked up the robo-taxi concept, which I don't see as being a big deal myself, okay? I think that's really pie in the sky. And then the third thing that everybody's been hanging their hat on is the cheap car, the affordable, what is it, Model 2? I can't remember what model. I think it's Model 2 that he now says is coming out in 2025. Okay? He says it's coming out. Where's the Cybertruck? Well, the stock has not done very well, obviously, over the last 3 years. I mean, you've lost half your value in Tesla. Over the last 12 months, if you go back a year ago today, you've lost 13% in the stock. It's really taken, over the last 3 months, the stock's down 32%. It's just taken a beating. And hence, I think there's a lot of short interest in the stock. And when he commented verbally, okay, I mean, just throwing out the phrase or the sentence that we're going to have the cheap car in 2025, that's enough to scare the shorts, turn the stock around for now, but he's going to have to deliver. And I would say the same thing with this robotics. Basically, he's saying that that the two rideshare companies, Lyft and Uber, will be obsolete when the Tesla comes along without any driver. A robo-taxi. I don't know that I'm getting in a car without a driver. I'm just saying. I don't know about that one. We'll see. I'd rather be dropped off hanging from a drone or something than with all the traffic and all the miscues that can happen. So, anyways, it is what it is. Tesla is bouncing today. It's been a terrible performer. I think the sentiment towards electric vehicles has turned tremendously negative against them. And I think he's got an uphill battle. And I think the China doesn't help either with all the competition that's coming there and the Cold War that's taking place. So those are my thoughts on Tesla. I don't think Uber and Lyft are in any kind of trouble. That's what's making the stock bounce today. Okay, another troubled stock, Boeing. Member of the Dow, struggling to put in a bottom, okay? Boeing has just been pummeled. It was $446 5 years ago. Now it's $173. That is a huge, huge drop in Boeing. In fact, Boeing over the last 5 years is down about 75% or so. Over the last 3 years, it's down about 35%. While, you know, the S&P keeps clicking along, over the last 12 months, Boeing's down 17.7. The CEO is gone, being replaced. They're trying to get things together. I think that the thing that Boeing has going for them is there's only two big plane makers, maybe three in the world, and they're one of them, so they kind of have a needed commodity there. Their sales were down 8% year over year. Their sales were up 11%, or their earnings were up 11%. Well, they had less of a loss than that period last time. They're still losing money. They lost $1.13 versus $1.27. So their earnings improved a little bit. But the stock continues to scrape paint on the bottom there at 173. And trying very, very hard to put in a bottom. But it is a member of the Dow, and it is pretty flat. It's up 2.4% today. Okay, good old AT&T. Now, I'm going to give you some numbers here. Now, look, when people transfer stocks to me from big wirehouse firms, they almost always have AT&T in there. Almost always have AT&T in there. Boeing also is a very, very popular one, along with Procter & Gamble and Kimberly-Clark and IBM, etc. Okay, so now I'm just going to give you the actual numbers here on AT&T, the performance. Yes, okay, let's see what the dividend yield is. We've talked about this so many times ad nauseum, but I think it's a very important lesson here. The dividend yield is 6.7%. Well, heck. I get paid to wait for it to come back. Well, it continues to go down. And over the last 10 years, Boeing has delivered capital appreciation of minus 5% per year. So basically, you add the dividend to that of 5-6%, you've made no money, total return, over the last decade in AT&T. Over the last 5 years, minus 7.6. You know, if your broker, your guy, your advisor has you in AT&T, present these numbers to them. Over the last 3 years, it's down 12% per year, and over the last 12 months, it's down 7.6%. While the S&P's up 22.6. It gets an F. It flunks everything as far as performance goes as a stock. And I'm sure if you call your broker, your advisor on the carpet, why do you have me in AT&T? I know what you're going to hear. Hey, do you have an AT&T plan? It's not going out of business. They're one of the biggest wireless providers in the world. And, of course, with their internet provider, well, I just say that you haven't explained it. It's made no money in 10 years. What makes you think it's going to all of a sudden wake up and start making me money? Are the Oakland A's going to all of a sudden wake up, win the World Series this year? Anyways, I mean, the performance is worse than I thought. I haven't looked at it for a while. But that's just terrible. Okay, why would you take market risk with a stock that vastly underperforms the market? Okay, now here's a good one, finally. Vertiv Holdings is in the midst of this AI. And Vertiv is up 10.5%. We made a lot of money in Vertiv. I let go of it because I had a huge profit in it. It's a data center company, and it's $33 billion. Now, there's a good stock. They beat earnings today. It's up 10.6%. We don't own it anymore. It's kind of back to where it was when we sold it. Over the last 12 months, Vertiv is up 520%. Over the last 3 years, it's averaged 51% per year. Yes, very choppy. Most of that coming in the last 6 months. And if you look at the five-year average, stock's up 50% a year if you annualize it, okay? Now, that's what I'm talking about. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show, where a lot of companies have reported in here today, important companies. It's given us a little bit of direction. But I would say that the reaction is pretty muted so far. I mean, you've got a couple there in the NASDAQ. Hasbro, okay, and not exactly a market leader. But it is up 12.3% today. They had a good report. It is a member of the NASDAQ. Yeah, there's some non-tech stocks also that are in the NASDAQ. And Tesla's up 12%, and I'm just wondering how much of that was just Elon scaring those short sellers out with his comments on the robo-cars and on the cheap car that he's going after. And then throwing the words like AI and robotics around, that gets everybody excited. It scares the short sellers, etc. Texas Instruments also is up 6.8%, even though it's been pretty a bad performer over the years. And then on the downside there in the NASDAQ, Netflix. You know, Netflix has not done well since that report that they had. And them saying that they're not going to give forward guidance anymore. I don't think the street liked that one either. And Netflix has been pretty soft since then. Okay, as I look at the Dow here today, a couple stocks are up. Intel and Boeing, pretty anemic gains from both of them. And then nothing really standing out on the downside there in the S&P 500. If I look at the in the Dow. If I look at the S&P 500 now, on the other hand, I'm seeing the winners probably going to be about the same stocks. Hasbro and Tesla leading the market today. Texas Instruments up 6.4%. Okay, then a couple other companies that have reported. I'll tell you what, the solar, oh my gosh, those stocks have just been hammered. Enphase today reporting, that is just a flat stock. That stock is down over the last 12 months 51%. Enphase, which is the tech stock of the solar industry. They're the ones that make the converters of the sunshine into the solar. And it's really lost its luster and has been just a terrible area to invest in here. Okay, another one there on the downside in the S&P 500 would be Old Dominion Freight Lines, the trucking industry. They're having a real struggle, big struggle. It's not because lack of freight. I wouldn't say that. I would just say that the price of diesel, the rules, the regulations, the massive amounts that they got to move from these container ships, etc., their insurance costs, blah, 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 it's a difficult industry. And as far as these cabs going electric at some point in the future, it's not going to happen. You know how heavy they would be carrying those batteries around? We'd have a lot of bridges collapsing across America. The hydrogen, maybe, okay, but those are still very heavy kinds of suppliers of energy to trucks. So that's a tough area to invest in. Another tough area to invest in is the healthcare stocks. The Humanas of the world. Humana is hitting a new 52-week low today. That's worrisome. You know, they're one of the leading HMOs and PPOs in the country. 17 million members in the U.S. And you've got a stock that's gone from 570 to 313 and hitting a new, now almost a new 52-week low today. That doesn't bode well for our fragile healthcare system with cost rising. I can see a move by the government, our current administration, anyways, of a single payer type system like Canada and Europe. I hope that doesn't happen, but it's a little troubling to see these healthcare stocks, insurance stocks, struggle so much. And then, you know, the other thing that is surprising, you would think with all of the big defense budget, or the, not defense, but the money that was sent to Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan for weapons, it hasn't helped the weapon stocks. Okay, you've got General Dynamics today down 5.8%. Not good. You had Lockheed Martin report yesterday, makes those F-35s. It's not doing well right now as a stock, just very, very flat. And probably the most important one of all would be Raytheon, which makes those missiles that shot down a lot of those incoming into Israel last week. It has not been a very good performing stock either. So I can't say that the weapons defense stocks have been a good way. The one that has been pretty perky lately has been AVAV, AeroVironment. AeroVironment makes drones. And that seems to be a big important piece of the puzzle there in defense, obviously. Look how many drones were used. And we own that stock in our aggressive growth portfolios, and that one's doing very well. So anyways, a lot coming in. We'll be watching tonight, some important earnings coming in tonight. Meta is the big one after the close. All right, well, how do you keep up on all this? Where do you find the best stocks now? How do you avoid the pitfalls, the big famous stocks like AT&T and Verizon, Procter & Gamble, etc.? I call them the soggy stocks, stodgy old growth giants of yesteryear. And, you know, where do you find the stocks that are benefiting from where we're at in the world today with technology, with interest rates, with this economy, with new developments, new drugs, new technologies, etc.? I do my best to point you in the right direction each week in my newsletter. I put a lot of work into that. That macro outlook is critical also as to whether or not this bull, which began in 2009, can continue. You can get 2 free weeks of my newsletter. This is my internal research every week. I benefit more from it than anybody that I also make available to you. For 2 free weeks, 855-611-BEST. And if you want to set up an appointment with us, take a look at your portfolio. What's the past performance of the stocks in your portfolio? I don't know. If it's meager and I've named a lot of your holdings, maybe you want to have a consultation with us. Set up an appointment at 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.